Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is The Other Page Radio, your favorite radio program here on WBCALP 102.9 FM Boston, Boston's community radio program. And we are here because of Triad Veterans League in association with BNN Media Services. We're really happy to be here today. Certainly hope you're doing well out there. It's getting a little chilly. Supposedly getting a little chillier, but don't take my word for it. I'm not the weatherman. I'm the weatherman. We are here today, and we have a guest that, oh, I'm so excited. I'm telling you. We have a lady who is coming from the Commonwealth, the Office of the Secretary of Veterans Services. That's a new cabinet position that Governor Healey decided that was important. And she placed Dr. John Santiago in that position. And today, representing that department is a retired brigadier general. A retired brigadier general, Andrea Gail Bennett. Welcome, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pretty excited about being here.
We are excited. You don't even know to have you here. And just to for me to go back so that our listening audience can understand that your first thing when I spoke with you, you said that you wanted to know about the community. And here you are today for the community to know about you. How are you doing in your position? And tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be in that position.
Okay, so you know what? I'll start with a little bit about myself.
Okay.
And how it prepared me for this position.
That's what we want to hear.
Okay, so I'm a physician assistant by training. And back in 1983, I joined the Massachusetts Army National Guard simply because I was looking for a part-time job. I had recently graduated, I had gotten married, I had a baby, and I hadn't worked. I had graduated like a year and a half prior to that, but hadn't worked that entire time. So I needed a job so I could keep my skills up. And you know, a postcard came in the mail looking for a part-time job, and as a matter of fact, I was. So I answered the postcard, spoke to the recruiter, and joined the Massachusetts Army National Guard. It was not anything that I had planned. My parents are immigrants to this country, so we didn't know anything about the military, but it seemed like something I could do. I'm a PA. I could take care of people. And what they said to me was, if there's an emergency, if there's a state emergency, like a flood or a hurricane or a blizzard or whatever, then I would be called to help out. And I thought, oh, I could do that. but fast forward several years, and I did end up being deployed to Iraq. And that was in 2009. And I say how my background prepared me for this position. While I was in the Guard, I experienced a lot of things. I experienced the need for mentorship because there was a time that it appeared as though I was going to be discharged because I was being passed over for promotion. But it was simply because, again, I didn't know anything about the military and how things worked, but I received a mentor. And then I was deployed, and the trauma of war and the challenges of deployment, I experienced all of that. When I came back from the deployment, ended up using VA healthcare, and it's not like it is today. It's an excellent source of healthcare, but I didn't know how to navigate that either. And again, that prepared me for this position. Another thing that Massachusetts does is they give out a welcome home bonus. I didn't even know that existed until someone said something to me. And so the fact that there are benefits out there that people don't know about is another thing that prepared me. I used the educational benefits. That is, again, additional information that veterans need and they don't always have. And so all of that prepared me to come into this new role. So basically, it encompasses a wide variety of responsibilities, things like interagency coordination, collaborating with other government agencies and veteran service organizations and community partners, which is why I said I wanted to get to know this community and who is serving veterans as a way to work and establish partnerships and maximize the resources so that we can better serve veterans. And so that's just one of the many areas.
All right. So I'm going to interrupt you right quick.
That's okay.
I'm going to get back with you. We're going to take a little PSA break.
Okay.
Are you a veteran or do you know a veteran who is struggling with housing due to COVID-19? Veterans Inc. can help provide support services, including assistance with rent, deposits, utilities, as well as emergency housing, including hotel stays to eligible struggling veterans. If you or someone you know is in need of services, please call 1-800-482-2565 or go online to www.veteransinc.org.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
We're back again, folks, with the Other Page Radio. My name is Haywood Fennell. I'm a veteran, and this program, as earlier stated, is a program of Triad Veterans League, supported by BNN Media Services. And I'm really happy to be here with Andrea Gail Bennett. She gave a profile a little bit. We're going to find out more. But we want to thank you for your service in terms of finding a way to not get discharged and to continue your pursuit of service to our country. Your going over in Iraq was, I know it was an experience in coming back. You mentioned the services that you encountered at the VA hospital. Mm-hmm. And we're still struggling somewhat to get it where, you know, the veterans will begin to, because a lot of them are still out there that haven't received the treatment and the diagnoses that they require. And I'm so glad that you're here and you're a physician's assistant that bridges you somewhat to be in a strategy for solutions.
Yes, I'm thankful that I'm able to be able to assist in that way. Mm-hmm. I lived it. I experienced many of the challenges, and so I know what people are going through and what they need.
Mm-hmm. I think with your being a female, kind of compounds the situation in terms of being dilemic, if that's the right word that could be used, because there was a time when just the presence of women in the United States military was questioned by military people. And over time, people began to understand the importance and the significance of women in the military, capable of doing a lot of things that at first they didn't want them to do. You know, so now you're coming in, you're getting firsthand experience with combat situations and all of the factors that contribute to PTSD, unable to cope, being a female, being an African-American female or just a black female woman and stuff. How did you, you know, make those adjustments? Did you do it in levels? Or did everything come at you at one time? Or what, you know?
So I can tell you that after the deployment, I had a very hard time transitioning back to civilian life. Mm. As many, many veterans in this era of the war have. And when you consider there are a lot of veterans who have multiple deployments, when you think about the trauma of war, and then they come back, maybe they heal a little bit, but then they go back again. And so the trauma is compounded, and it was the VA that helped me back then. So this was 15 years ago. The VA was somewhat different.
What was your rank then, by the way?
So at that time, I was lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the VA now has a whole health model. So they are concerned with the whole person. Prior to that, that was not their focus. And it was a little bit of a struggle to get the mental health care that I needed. But persistence, as you say, persistence paid off. And you know, because I went through that, I know what it is, and it shouldn't be that hard.
Right.
Another thing, that 988 crisis hotline didn't exist 15 years ago, but it does now because we have legislators who understand the importance of supporting veterans and their whole health, not just their physical needs. Because a lot of us came back with, as they say, the invisible wounds of war.
Mm-hmm. Unable to talk about it too with anybody, you know, folks. You really don't have any. You can't understand how happy I am today to have one that has been there, has lived the struggle of war,
mm-hmm.
has come back into our community, gone through some things with the help of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep this in perspective now. She was a field grade officer. She was a lieutenant colonel. And, you know, lieutenant colonels, you just can't tell them anything.
That's not quite true.
You know, well, they may try to tell you something, but you have more of an authority to question than, say, an enlisted person, I think. And one of the reasons why I'm saying this to you on radio is because Triad Veterans League, with the help of Northeastern University Public Health School and the late Dr. Joseph Warren, who was a naval officer, did a scientific survey to try to find ways to get veterans to go to the VA to get the treatment that they need. And we did this survey and came out with a scientific finding that there was a lot of mistrust and a lack of cultural sensitivity when we did this survey. And we plan to do another one. But what I'm saying to you is that you went to school and became a physician's assistant, and you served, and you saw a lot. And being where you are today is going to kind of help the situation get better.
Absolutely. I've been there, I've done that, experienced it all. And yes, it was difficult, but the help is there. And that's what our department is now, our secretariat is now working. One of our mission is to honorably serve those who served us.
Right.
And so we actively try to engage local veterans. I could tell you the secretary, when he was first appointed, he did listening sessions and he went all across the state, north, south, east, west. He went everywhere to hear from veterans. What do they need? What are their challenges? What are their barriers? What are the things that would help them? And he listened. And based on the conversations that he had and the conversations that we continue to have with the, as they say, boots on the ground people, the secretariat has done a lot over this the course of this year that they've been in existence.
Well, let me just say something, because I don't want you to think that I don't know Dr. John Santiago, because I do, because he worked at the Boston Medical in a crisis situation over there with another Dr. Ed Bernstein, Project Assert founder, who has stepped aside now. Dr. Bernstein is a very sensitive man, and I've spoken with Dr. Santiago, Secretary Santiago, if you will. And I know that he is one that is sensitive, because I saw him about a month or so ago on a Sunday with his wife and baby, you know, out walking and stuff. And he stopped and he talked with me about some situations that I'm concerned about. And I'm also a part of a research team coming out of Bedford doing a study on Black veterans and lung cancer, you know. And I, and one of the things that I said to them, Deputy Secretary, was that, you know, stress can do anything. You know, you don't have to smoke a cigarette to get lung cancer.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, you know, like, you get stressed out and you don't know how to cope and everything. You know, your body go wacko.
That's very true.
You know, and then, you know, looking at the amount of bad conduct discharges, and I know that's being worked on too. You know, especially with those that had substance abuse issues, and they were given bad conduct discharges until the, I don't know, the board of psychiatry or psychologists or one of those organizations came out with a finding that substance abuse is treatable. And so what that did was that changed the paradigm.
Yes.
You know, so still we got to try to deal with that. It's a lot of things that I'm so happy that you are here today to waylay or to improve how people can, you know, get involved in the system to get some help. It's not all peaches and cream now, everybody. You know, we still got some people that we need to work with so they can work better with us.
Well, you're right. The problem is compounded. Right. You know, if there's mistreatment, if there's mistrust, it can lead to substance abuse, which can lead to homelessness, which can lead to, you know, a whole cascading of events. But one of the things, you know, several of the things that we're working on, I'm sure you heard, I think it was last week, that the governor, in partnership with us and the housing secretary, initiated a campaign to end veteran homelessness. And she invested, I believe it's $20 million.
Right, right.
You know, it's the largest investment, targeted investment ever made towards this this crisis and trying to bring the state to what they call a functional zero in terms of veteran homelessness. In addition to that, there's a program called SERV. I don't remember exactly what those letters stand for. I think it's, well, it has to do with serving incarcerated veterans and treatment courts, and not just putting them, just throwing the key away and putting them in jail, but, you know, considering the fact that they may have a substance abuse problem, they may have other mental health issues, they may have other things that are factoring into their behavior. And we need to treat those things while we rehab them.
So, we need to interrupt you right quick.
Sure.
Because we're going to come back and we'll talk a little more about that. But, you know, we want to let people know about this veterans program right here.
Okay.
The Oscar Michonne Family Theater Program Company welcomes those seeking to learn about theater and performance. We offer classes that bring out your talent and improve it. Want to get involved in theater production, acting, or singing? Then you can visit our website at theomtc.com. That's theomtc.com.
This is the Other Page radio station. It's brought to you by Triad Veterans League. And my name is Haywood Fennell. Our guest today is a wonderful lady, veteran herself, Andrea Gail Bennett. Welcome again. But let me just say that veterans are an overlooked and underused community resource. Triad Veterans League has been around, folks, for the last 30 years, working in the community, trying to capacity build so that our veterans will not be forgotten. And to have my guest today, a Deputy Secretary of the Veterans Service, and to her to be working with the Secretary, Dr. John Santiago, it is something that is divine, I'm telling you.
Thank you.
I've been patient now. I speak for veterans, but let me tell you something. I feel real good today about the state of veterans affairs on the state level.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I want you to know this, right? And I want everybody to know this, right? That one organization that I want you, Deputy Secretary, to meet is, I don't know if you met her yet, but Frederica M. Williams, the president of Whittier Street Community Health Center.
I have not met her yet. I would love to meet her.
And she's located at 1290 Tremont Street, and that phone number is 617-427-1000. 617-427-1000. Now let me tell you something. Let me share this, because we have Whittier Street come on and talk about the services that they are providing for the community. And I mean, they're doing a brilliant job. And they have included veterans in their treatment plan.
That's wonderful.
And they have created a program for people coming back into the community from incarceration. Some of them are veterans like myself. I was incarcerated. I struggled with drugs. I've been not struggling with drugs for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking with you, and what you're talking back to me makes me feel real good, because some of the things that you have said is some of the things that I've been thinking about. I am presently collecting data on incarcerated veterans.
Yes.
And I plan to submit a proposal to study. And I don't want to, I'm going to get back to you, but I just want to just let you know the depth of my concern. And my audience will tell you that's what I'm saying to you. It's not something that just popped off the top of my head. You mentioned the creation of a $20 million fund by Governor Healey with your department to shape.
Correct.
Absolutely great. But let me tell you something. $20 million, you got to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when them consultants and them contractors sit down at that table, some of that money is going to go. Deputy Secretary, I got you on the show. And I want you to know that we believe in you and what you're doing, and you serve your country, and you're not going to go for fried ice cream. Look, let me tell you now. Let me tell you, because I've been busy. I talk with people in City Hall like Sheila Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, the city of Boston has buildings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said to John Cruz, I said Frederica, I said a few more people, leaders in the community, give the veterans a building to create a model with wraparound services for veterans, male and female, and a spot for incarcerated veterans, because this is not a local problem. This is national.
It is a national problem. It's a statewide problem. Absolutely.
I just want to get that in. I'm hearing you now, but I wanted to mention to you, because you want to know about some of the organizations in our community that's working with veterans, working in the community, mm-hmm. and Whittier Street, that whole team of providers and care includes veterans working there, ex-offenders, and mm-hmm. I want you to contact her.
Absolutely. I would love to be able to be in touch with her so we can talk about what she's doing and the successes that she's had, the challenges, and how we can support her.
How have you been doing in other community outreaches and stuff? Have you spoken to, I know you've spoken to Mary Tewitt.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mary's an old friend now.
Right, right. Did you talk to Minister Anthony Cohen yet?
I have not.
Okay, Minister Anthony Cohen, our Deputy Secretary, has worked with Mary and other agencies on upgrading discharges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we, in addition to, you know, the other programs that we've created, mm-hmm. One of them that you may know is the Veterans Quality Review Board. Mm-hmm. And that was created for veterans who are dishonorably discharged under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Okay. We created the Veterans Reintegration Advisory Committee to address mental health. So, yes, we are aware that there are disproportionate amounts of people of color who have these dishonorable discharges for things mm-hmm. that someone else may not have received the same treatment. And we're addressing that.
Let me just say something to you. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said, I've been involved here in Boston. I came here in 1978, and I got involved with the veterans when I was at Boston University. You know, mm-hmm. we grabbed up some clothes and did a clothes drive from the people down there in Arkansas at that time. You know, they had flood damage and all of that stuff. And at that time, the Veterans Benefits Clearinghouse was functioning for veterans, and they had to close down for whatever. And, you know, the services for veterans like, mm-hmm. was in total disarray. What I see today is hope.
Okay. Great. Glad.
When I spoke with Dr. Ed Bernstein, and he spoke to me, he said, and you know, he talks fast, right? So he said, "Did you hear about Dr. Santiago?" I said, "Which one, Robert?" He said, no, John. I said, "No, what happened?" He says, "He's going to be the new secretary." I said, "Oh, really? That's great. Mm-hmm. That's good." Because the secretary is a politician elected, mm-hmm. you know, and so he knows the game.
He absolutely knows the game. And I'll tell you, there's another area that I'm pretty excited about. We call it VEET. It's the Veteran Education, Employment, and Training Program. Prior to Secretary Santiago, education and training for veterans was not...
Come on, you know that's right.
Was not administered by
veterans.
By veterans. And so he has has done his best, and we now have this program that we are in charge of this and are, you know, looking to do the best for our veterans.
Let me tell you something. See, that's what I'm talking about, right? See, you can see it, but you can smell it first. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's a freshness of thoughts and commitment, folks. I'm talking to my listeners now. And there's a freshness of thought and commitment that's either at 600 Washington Street or 100 Cayman Street.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, Deputy, I want you to give us the phone number or phone numbers, please, so that these people can call in. Because when you start talking about workforce development,
yeah,
operated by veterans, they're going to come out to work with the woodwork.
And that's okay. That's what we want. We want to acknowledge. We want to try to help as many veterans as we can. One of the issues that we have is that there's so many who don't identify as veterans.
Well, I got to tell you about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, they don't even want to have anything to do with veterans. And so we are trying to reach out to let them know this is a new day, and that right. that we are here to, as he says, honorably serve those who served us.
Right, right. And the other thing is I'm going to ask you to give that phone number up right now.
I don't know the number off the top of my head.
You don't know the number? What?
No, I don't. I don't ever call my office.
You don't ever call your office.
So
we're talking about the Office of Veterans. We're talking about the Office of
the Executive Office of Veterans Services. I can look it up right now.
Yeah, yeah. Do that, and see if you can pull that up.
Right.
And we're gonna put up with a PSA. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Are you a veteran, or do you know a veteran who is struggling with housing due to COVID-19? Veterans Inc. can help provide support services, including assistance with rent, deposits, utilities, as well as emergency housing, including hotel stays to eligible struggling veterans. If you or someone you know is in need of services, please call 1-800-482-2565 or go online to www.veteransinc.org.
I'm telling you, boy.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Back again with the Other Page Radio. We at WBCALP 102.9 FM, Boston's community radio station, Triad Veterans League, in association with BNN Media Services. We are here today with Dr. Andrea Gale Bennett, Deputy Secretary, retired Brigadier General. Oh, my goodness. But folks, let me just explain something, because my brother retired as a major in the United States Army. He got out, right? But when you are an officer on the level that our guest, before she retired, you're taking on a whole lot of responsibility, and now she's the Deputy Secretary of the Veterans Affairs on the state level for the Commonwealth. That's a new department.
It is a new department. Elevated. We're 1 year old.
1 year old. We didn't get that celebration, but I bet you when we get to be 2 years old, you know, I'm going to be there for the celebration. But what I wanted to talk about, Secretary, is the reluctance, if you will, of veterans that are better off financially, professionally, and there seems to be a need to remind them that they are needed in this resurrection of veterans care and services so that we can improve our community.
Right. And that the other factor that happens, there are a lot of veterans who say, oh, I'm not that bad, you know, give the treatment to the other guy who needs it more than me.
Right.
And that's really not how it works. We need everyone's voice. We need right. everyone's voice to be able to provide the care that we need. So I challenge anyone who's out there listening that is thinking, oh, I don't need it as much as the next guy. Yeah, yes, you do. And you deserve it. You earned it. You served. You raised your right hand, and you promised, serve.
Yeah,
so
yeah, right.
You deserve it.
Right. And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I'm sending you this picture. I was given an award a little while ago. You know, one of the things about awards, I appreciate him, but I know that man gives awards and God gives rewards. So, you know, so much for that, right? But I want to send you three names of veterans, like a letter of introduction.
Oh, absolutely.
So that you can, I'm not even calling names on the radio, but these men are in the community, they've been in the community, and they're veterans, educated professional folks and stuff, you know, that will be willing to see how they can be of service to your department to get things up a little more. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that with you and Secretary that and the staff that you have around you, there's going to be some eye-opening situations. You know, we don't want to always think that fundraising is just sourced from the government. You know, corporate America needs to know about what it is that we're trying to do for our veterans who have served, you know, and their families are in need because they become codependent on certain behaviors and things like that. We want, to your point about the reluctance of people to come in and say that they're veterans. I was one of them. I wouldn't say a word. They say, "Are you a veteran?" I say, "No."
Oh, boy, you even denied it.
See, yeah, I said, not me. And I came from a family of veterans. I came from a family of veterans. Let me just say this before I get right back to you, folks. I want you to know that there was a time for African-American veterans. If they got in trouble and got involved in the court system and they went before a judge would give them an alternative. Either you go to jail or you join the Army. And some of them went in, and some of them didn't come back, and some that came back, they weren't able to make the necessary transitions because of mental stress, and they didn't know what it was, so they called it shell shock.
Right, right.
Okay? So now we've lifted it. We've classified a substance abuse as treatable. We've begun to look at the lack of cultural sensitivity in service providing and hiring. And now we have a department that wasn't a department over a year ago. It's now a department for veterans.
It's actually a secretariat. It's a secretariat level
department.
Right, yeah.
Right. And then they give $20 million to start us off, you know, and they have in place a planning committee.
And I'll tell you one other thing that Secretary Santiago did is he created a chief engagement office whose job it is to engage with nonprofits, organizations, veterans, people who are in the veteran space so that we can provide opportunities and service these people and let them know where the benefits are. And that didn't exist a year ago.
Well, you know, one of the things I want you to make sure that the secretary knows that the Other Page radio is available. Just send me the information, you know, and we'll get you on. We'll take whatever information it is and disseminate it into our community. And when I say that, you know, because we're involved in a literacy program, theater program, quarry reform program. And we do a lot of things. And we're veterans, you know, volunteer in our... So that comes natural for us to disseminate your information.
So what I'm going to ask you to give me that information, because one of the things that I'm working on is actually creating an interactive map that we could put on our website that would list all resources by region. So if somebody logged on and wanted to know about, let's say, mental health services in Webster, you know, they could click on Webster and they would see a list of resources. If they wanted to know about...
We'd be all over.
Right.
Try it to be all over your thing, because one of the projects that we are working on now, Deputy Secretary, is the commemorative stamp series. Using the images of the Black Veterans Calendar And in November, we're going to be submitting our petition and our support documents, and we would like to get the secretary to, endorse that, because we got Congressman Jim McGovern out of Worcester. Mm-hmm. I'll send you the information. Mm-hmm. And we also have a letter of support from former Boston City Council President Ed Flynn, mm-hmm. who himself is a retired veteran.
Yes.
And so we've been working diligently it's not going to be like an instant thing. You know, we're going to ask that we be considered for a United States commemorative stamp series. So what that does, if it's approved, is that we have these stamps, and most of them, or a lot of them, are organizations like the 54th from Massachusetts.
Right, right.
You know, so, as a matter of fact, I plan to go to tomorrow or Monday up to the governor's office and take that calendar up there with the petition and everything, so that she might say something to spark an interest, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For being a part of this right here. But this particular program is available to the office, your department.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. That's good to hear.
we don't have any choice.
Yeah.
You're our voice, and we are your voice.
I take that job seriously.
Yeah.
I really do.
I want to thank you for, coming out to the statue.
Oh, for General Gordine?
Yeah, I resigned from that because as the chairman, I'm now involved in the project for the stamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also and producing plays that I've written. The Oscar Micheaux Family Theater Program Company, we just came from performing over at the Regent Theater in Arlington, a play called The Miss Marian Anderson and Friends Project.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about her refusing to sing before a segregated audience, and ended up singing before 75,000 people in 1939 Easter Sunday in Washington, D.C. So,
Yeah, that you mentioned General Gordine, and that is I was proud to be able to participate in that dedication.
Mm-hmm.
But it saddened me that I didn't even know that story. And I've been in Boston, 40 years or so,
yeah.
And I didn't know this story at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it amplifies the fact that the Healey administration is committed to inclusivity, greater representation. And one of the things that she's done is they put forth a comprehensive legislative package that I'm sure you're aware of, the HERO Act. And it has 17 proposals in it that look at expanding benefits. It demonstrates its commitment to inclusivity and greater representation, as I mentioned, and modernizing veteran services. So this administration, like I said, I'm excited. I'm glad to hear that you're excited, and hopefully we can get all the listeners excited about the things that are being done.
Are you going to come back? You're going to come back, give us a progress report or send us something,
absolutely.
Letting the community know.
Absolutely.
Exactly what it is that you're doing. Because, like I said earlier, veterans are very important people.
Absolutely.
The experiences that we bring to the table. No, but we got to, educate people what veterans really are, because a lot of people, especially during the Vietnam era, they had all
mm-hmm.
kind of names for them
mm-hmm.
coming back
mm-hmm.
and things. But you know what, though? Secretary, I was saying to myself, this is a long time ago, they discharge us, right? They just discharge. Bam, go home. You finish with your service. Go on about your business.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that, going overseas, and I was in Okinawa, and I had a gun downstairs, and they were sending people in country, for 30 days or whatever, but I didn't get the gun to go over there. But people are in a state of mind that they need to be able to wind down.
Exactly.
Before we put them out.
Exactly.
And we didn't do that.
And they're still not really doing that. It's getting better, but we see that gap and are looking at ways to address that.
Yeah, because, I feel real honored. I was mentioning to you earlier about being a part of that discussion group talking about Black veterans and lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but the dynamics of being black in the military sometimes brings up the race issue, you know, and we haven't been able to just take it peacefully, you know, and a lot of the attributes that go with that and the behaviors that go with that make people say, oh, he's a hostile or she's a hostile.
Right.
And so we got a whole lot of surfacing to do to remove that, you know, and that means that we got to deal with the care providers.
Yes.
And when we talk about Whittier Street Community Health Center, they on board.
Well, I can tell you the VA is also on board. They have signed an agreement with the NAACP, an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, yeah, to work together to address a lot of those issues.
Because, you know, those are the kind of things that, Secretary, that are on my mind. You know, you can have a lot of money, you know, but that's not money. It's not the money. You know, it's the commitment. It's the understanding that we need to appreciate what it is that we have to do. Your coming here today was a blessing.
No, oh, thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
You know, I'm not trying to blow no smoke now. Don't get me wrong, because if you weren't doing nothing, you wouldn't be here. I'll tell you that right now, because our community needs to understand the importance of veterans and the services that they have provided, and that means you. You're a woman, a mother that went over there.
I did.
You know, and came back and realized that, hey, I need some help with this one.
Right. And the help is not, it's not an easy fix either. It took years. But there's always hope. There's always hope.
Remember what you said, Secretary, a little while ago? You said that some of the veterans say, no, I'm all right, you know, give that to somebody else.
Correct.
And they might have the symptoms, and they just say, oh, it's okay, I'm all right. Maybe I need a drink.
Right. And we see that a lot.
Or smoke a cigarette.
Right. We see that a lot.
Right. And still the problem remains. And it gets down south, we say, we don't say worse, we say worser. It gets worser.
Well, the thing is, that, you know, in this community, there is the stigma, mental health issues. There's a stigma in getting care for your mental health. And, you know, I heard Congressman Moulton say that his goal is to have mental health as commonplace as physical health. So when you say you're going for your physical, no one says, you know, what's wrong with you?
Right.
So if you say you're going for a mental health checkup, no one should say, oh, what's wrong with you? Just say, oh, good for you. Glad you're going for your checkup. It should be that commonplace, and we have to get to that point.
Right. And so another thing, you know, we're winding down now, you know, so I don't want to pile you up. You know,
okay.
But I will, you know, if I get away with it, but I ain't going to do that, right? But look, you know, I was saying to myself, you know, I talk to myself a lot. Folks know that. They know that. And I'll be on email at 3 o'clock in the morning because that's a part of my PTSD stuff, you know, that I found a way to kind of, you know, write. And I was thinking about the brothers and sisters that are kind of elderly people and they have dementia and Alzheimer's symptoms, if not totally Alzheimer's. And what happens to them? Who is taking care of them if they're veterans? So that's another reason why we need to consider having a Veterans Comprehensive Center in Roxbury.
Well, I can tell you. So first of all, you do know that we do have two veterans homes, one in Holyoke and one in Chelsea. And granted, you know, Chelsea and Holyoke is not Boston. It's not the South Coast. It's not, you know, if you live here in Boston, you really don't want to go all the way to Chelsea or Holyoke. I can tell you that, you know, they're looking at trying to find another location for another home. Funding isn't there yet.
That's encouraging.
Right. But that, again, it's another gap. We have two. We need more. And so that's something that, again, we're looking to address that situation. But I also tell you that when you think about the Soldiers' Home, you know, we built that brand new building in Chelsea, and all of the residents from the old facility moved in back in February. And it's a pretty impressive building, and it's state of the art with all of the yeah. things that, you know.
Right. But, you know, bottom line is that, you know, I'm glad you're saying you're looking. You know, I'm saying that if the Boston City has property, you know, we should be considered. You know, you guys have a lot of pull. You know, Michelle Wu, I see her. She's, oh, hey, well, how are you? Blah, blah, like that, right? Okay, so, you know, I don't try to impose anything, because the reality of the situation is that we do need that in our community.
Right, and you know? And we will continue to talk with local veterans. Mm-hmm. You know, there will continue to be listening sessions. Mm-hmm. There'll continue to be town halls. Mm-hmm. When we want to hear what the needs are and right. what the challenges are. And
well, you got your hands full now, I tell you that much.
I do have my hands full, I will tell you that.
We got people in the community that want to alleviate some of that hands full that you might have. You know, hopefully, you know, Triad may do State of Veteran Services, because we do research.
So it sounds like I'm not familiar with Triad.
Right. But you're talking to the founder now.
So have you spoken with our chief engagement office?
Nope.
So that we need to make that connection?
Okay. So, you know, you have my email.
Okay.
You know, you can share it with them.
Okay.
You know, and I can share our information with them and talk mm-hmm. about the commemorative stamp series, because that's a national project. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have too many veterans organizations in the Commonwealth. You know, I know in the western part of the state, going from Worcester on back, they're not as vigorous as we are here in Boston, you know, about veterans. But I think that with this new leadership, that's going to change.
Yes. Know. Yeah, we are doing we're working hard at mm-hmm. Including everyone. Right. The West does feel neglected. Right. And we know
about the West. I'm up there. I mean, you know, I'm. Hey, Secretary, I'm very serious about that, because remember now, the veterans came home around World War II mm-hmm. in the uniform, and they were hung.
Mm-hmm.
They were lynched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because people say they're going to take their jobs.
Right.
You know, so, right. you know, it's a lot of history that should not be a mystery. But the most outstanding thing is that right now, I feel a lot better.
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, I feel a lot better, and whatever it is that I can do, you know, and to your point about you didn't know about General Edward O. Gordine, mm-hmm. I think that as a member of the committee, no longer the chairperson, we are trying to create a cadre of young people to learn the history, so that when people come to see the statue, they'll be there like the Rangers are at other government sites downtown, you know, places that were declared, you know, historic sites. They'll be able to share the information with the people that come to visit the statue, because people will begin to come to see that statue in Roxbury.
Yeah, no, and General Gordine was an impressive individual. He was an attorney. He was
a judge.
He was a judge. He mm-hmm. was in the military, yeah, general.
He was a track star.
He was, yeah, an Olympic athlete. Yeah, so he was an impressive guy.
He could have walked off and had a career without, you know, the service.
In any one of those three areas, he could have, yeah, he didn't, but he did all three, and so he was an impressive guy.
Yeah, he was a veteran like you are, mm-hmm. like I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm proud of my service record. I'm proud of what I'm doing in my community. I'm so happy that you took the time to come in and to share a little bit. See, I know you were thinking you're going to get the whole hookup, and we don't want to spoil you.
I didn't know what to expect, but I am.
But we certainly hope that you let the folks know in your office that you were able to, you know, address some of our concerns. And, you know, we're going to be patient and not judge. You know, we're going to just believe that our time is near. Our time is here. for veterans services, for people to become more appreciative of what a veteran is, you know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that is my job, to listen and mm-hmm. then to take action on the things that I hear. So mm-hmm. the fact that you heard from me that I'm trying to do my job to serve, as we say, honorably serve those who served us. Right. I'm glad that message has been received.
Yes, we got a lot of work to do, but
absolutely,
you know, if you really into it, you don't mind doing it.
Absolutely,
folks. We had a real good time today. I want to thank you, Deputy Secretary Andrew Gail Bennett, for coming in, sharing the good news. And we're looking forward to some further discussions. Please send me the engagement group mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. Spoke with the sheriff yesterday, and I'm getting some help from a professor over at Tufts University around incarcerated veterans. You know.
Okay. All right.
You know, we on top of what we do. You know, like I said, we do research in the community, because we know that things could be better. And having said that, mm-hmm. thank you so much for coming on. And we're looking forward to hearing more from you. And believe me, you will be our guest again.
Thank you so much for having me. Okay. It was a pleasure.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.